The Spider Taketh Hold.
Written and read
by John Ashbrook. You never forget your first spider. For Pete, his first spider was also his first memory. It had come to him in his cot. White it was, but casting a dark, angular shadow as it crawled impossibly across the ceiling. It paused over his cot and paid out a thread and lowered itself towards him. Baby Pete had watched with fascination as it had rotated in the air, growing larger and larger. Then, with apparent deliberation, the curious white spider had dropped into Pete's toothless mouth. His shocked scream brought his mum, still young and vigilant, who pushed a comforting dummy into his mouth and inadvertently blocked the spider in. But it wasn't trying to get out. It had chosen him. It scrambled at the back of his throat, forcing him to swallow, and then it was inside him. Forever. As was the memory, Pete didn't have the language to articulate his revulsion or his sense of violation, but it froze him to the core. By the age of 10, he would pray every night to the spider gods not to send any more visitations. Yet, every night, there would be another arachnid squatting in the corner by the cornice or feeling its way down the window frame. Over the years, Pete had done away with countless creatures. The number was certainly in the hundreds. His terror was unreasoning. It drove him, and he couldn't even think of sleep until he'd found that night's spider and killed it, even though looking for it filled him with a dread that made him shake. The dim bulb in his light encouraged the shadows to spread out from under the chair, wardrobe, and bed, transforming his bedroom into a land of foreboding. He would tentatively move books, lift up the curtains, or push his pile of comics to one side, while holding a slipper at the ready to deal the death blow. He would leave no hiding place unexplored until he'd found it, and there was always one to find. He hadn't dared broach the subject at school for fear of the inevitable taunting, but so far as he could tell, this sort of thing didn't happen to other children. It wasn't the normal way of things to be visited by spiders every night. He had confessed his spider crimes in church, but had been told to stop being ridiculous, since spiders have no souls, killing a few wasn't a sin.
A few? Hadn't the priest been listening?
As Pete had waited for the Eucharist, he'd prayed for the spiders to leave him alone. As he'd stood there in line, shivering, he'd noticed a spider web under the arm of the crucifix. It seemed that since spiders have no souls, God has no influence over them, or he wasn't listening either. That evening, with another interloper vanquished and flushed, Pete turned to his bed and threw back the blankets to see a second long-legged beast, as big as any he had ever seen, scuttling quickly, but not so quickly as to suggest panic, towards the shade beneath the pillow. Pete felt the floor shift beneath his bare feet. His teeth bit down hard, and the skin on his face seemed to shrink, pulling tight so he couldn't blink. A second spider! His hand, still holding the blanket, suddenly felt vulnerable. What if it ran up his arm, got into his hair? A second spider in his mouth! When the world stopped swaying, Pete became aware of the distance between himself and his slippers. He'd kicked them off by the door, thinking their job done for the night. But he had to kill this second creature if he were to sleep. Ever again. What might it be doing under the pillow? Waiting for him, legs bent, ready to pounce? What if it was pregnant? Didn't they have thousands of babies? Didn't the babies eat them? There could be thousands of cannibal spiders in his bed, and his slippers were all the way over on the other side of the room. Decision made, Pete dove across the rug and grabbed both slippers, jumping to his feet ready with both hands raised. Nothing moved. He felt a trickle of cold sweat run down between his shoulder blades and fought the sensation that something was behind him. Rehearsing the move once or twice, grab and pull, grab and pull, he grabbed the corner of the pillow, turned it over and the beast wasn't there. What if it had gone down the gap between the bed and the wall? It could even be under the bed now. Pete looked down at his feet, vulnerable and bare on the rug, and he clenched his toes as though that was some defence against spider fangs. He couldn't shift his bed, and there was no way he was going to look under it. He couldn't fetch his mum, she'd always told him he was being ridiculous. Tears of frustration began to sting the corner of his eyes. He could always spend the night in his chair with his feet up. That would be okay, wouldn't it? The spider made his decision for him. It broke cover, actually from behind the headboard. It ran across the wallpaper, towards the window, scuttling across a vertical surface in that gravity-defying way that made spiders even more dangerous. Pete was shocked at the size of the thing, of the deathly blackness of it, of the staccato drumming its feet made on the anaglypta. He could actually hear its footsteps. Fear crossed over into fury. No, he was not going to tolerate a second spider. Pete lunged forward, slamming the slipper against the wall, missing the beast but catching and tearing loose two of its legs. It fell back towards the bed. A flutter of panic in Pete's mind. Then it caught itself on a lifeline and hung, pedaling in the air, before scrambling back up the wall. With a determined cry, Pete brought the slipper round backhand and smeared the spider in an arc of black, brown and red across the lemon wallpaper, right above the bed. Victory! Short-lived victory. If there were two, there could be more. What if this meant more spiders every night? What if this was God's answer to his prayer? He had built his nighttime rituals around the hunt for a single spider. But if there were two, could he ever stop looking? Could he ever close his eyes in the certain knowledge that there wasn't a third beast waiting somewhere to drop into his mouth? With the remains of the second spider screwed up in a ball of toilet paper in his bin, Pete reassembled his bed and laid in it, rigid, eyes scanning the landscape of shadows. He couldn't relax, but when his mum came to bed and turned off his light, he pretended to be asleep to avoid a scolding. The darkness fizzed around him like the static between TV channels, and the blood drummed in his ears like tiny marching feet, marching across his walls. The door to the other bedroom closed, and his mum and dad's muffled voices soon fell to silence. He was alone now. Or was he? How could he know for sure? A floorboard creaked out on the landing. This wasn't unusual. His mum called it the house settling. Then it creaked again. And again. That was the sound it made when his dad was walking from the bathroom after shaving. But dad was asleep. Another tread, another creak, as though something were rocking backwards and forwards on the loose board, as Pete himself sometimes did. Or, and this thought pressed down on him like a weight, maybe it was something with lots of feet treading on the board. Something solid thumped against his door and, uninvited, a bulky shape pushed its way into the room. Pete recognised the bristling form all too well. But his mind rejected it. The size and the shape were not matched. It was far, far too big. Pete snapped shut his eyes and became aware of the sound of the shape. Every movement was accompanied by the wet popping of its joints, the sound of soft bodies bursting under pressure. He could feel the creature in his room, approaching, pushing the air before it, air that was chilling and damp and sickly with the stench of decay. The bed tilted, and the cold, dead thing heaved itself on top of him, its considerable weight pressing the bedding down and the boy beneath it. Its ceaselessly chewing mouth chattered and gurgled, its rakes of fangs were sticky with venom, which drooled onto Pete's face, and his paralysis left him. He began thrashing and screaming a shockingly loud, keening note of primordial terror. The huge monstrosity's entire body was a congregation of smaller spiders, a writhing mass of arachnids of all colours and kinds, squeezed and crushed together into eight thick, many-jointed legs, supporting a fat, bloated body of spiders, all lashed angrily together by a film of tightly woven web, a spider of spiders. All the spiders Pete had ever killed, all clustered together as one. Four of its pincers pinned him at the wrists and ankles, whilst its other legs gathered the cocoon of blankets from on top of him and cast them aside, exposing him. It swayed above him, the uncountable tiny legs over its surface, thrashing and thrumming impatiently, scratching at Pete's skin. He clamped his lips tight and tried to turn his head away. Then the beast's pincers carefully and deliberately severed the webs with which it held itself together, and one creature became hundreds, raining down on young Pete. He disappeared beneath a scuttling mass of them. They ran up his pyjama legs, scrambled up his sleeves, and swarmed under his jacket. An agony of itching. They cascaded over his face and into his hair. Despite his gritted teeth, they flowed into his mouth, slipping and skittering between cheek and gum and down his throat. He choked, and they came boiling back out. Then another wave swept in. They clogged his nostrils and his ears as they desperately, determinedly forced their way inwards. Sliding their needle-sharp legs under his lids, they dragged Pete's eyes open, and two swollen mother spiders stabbed their abdomens into the wet skin of his eyes, puncturing the pupils and squirting their eggs into the warm reservoirs within. Shadow spiders hatched and swam in Pete's vision, swirling and swarming, supping and sucking and swelling, until they quickly grew too fat and tore their way out through his raw sockets. The searing pain was everywhere within him. They were filling his guts from both ends, spewing their enzymes and dissolving him and sucking him up into their own guts. What was left of Pete was being digested within the torn, sagging bag of skin which had once contained the entirety of him. Eventually, the pain became a memory. Even being Pete became a memory. The transformation was complete. He was gone, and all that was left was the spiders. White spiders. Thousands of Petes peered through thousands of tiny eyes, aware, as spiders are aware, of each of his other spider selves. He remembered what they remembered and felt what they felt, as though connected to them by a web. They, in turn, remembered his fear. Now, white spider Petes crawl into the bedrooms of terrified children every night, and every night he dies a thousand times. He feels the trauma of each death, and he remembers it. He can't forget.